Hello, and welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. In 1925, Josephine is the proud owner of a thriving farm. As a child, she channeled otherworldly power to free herself from slavery. Now, her new neighbor, a white woman named Charlotte, seeks her company, and an uneasy friendship grows between them. But Charlotte has also sought solace in the Ku Klux Klan, a relationship that jeopardizes Josephine's family. Nearly 100 years later, Josephine's descendant, Ava, is a single mother who has just lost her job. She moves in with her white grandmother, Martha, a wealthy but lonely woman who pays her grandchild to be her companion. But Martha's behavior soon becomes erratic, then even threatening, and Ava must escape before her story and Josephine's converge. Today's Reader's Advisory is The Revisioners by Margaret Wilkerson Sexton. The Revisioners is a family saga set in New Orleans. The plot follows a modern woman and her ancestor as they deal with difficult situations. The novel explores families, racism, and American history. Readers will enjoy the large cast of diverse characters and the haunting but hopeful tone. Readers may also enjoy Red at the Bone by Jacqueline Woodson. As the book opens in 2001, it is the evening of 16-year-old Melody's coming-of-age ceremony in her grandparents' Brooklyn brownstone. Watched lovingly by her relatives and friends, making her entrance to the music of Prince, she wears a special custom-made dress. But the event is not without poignancy. 16 years earlier, that very dress was measured and sewn for a different wearer, Melody's mother, for her own ceremony, a celebration that ultimately never took place. Unfurling the history of Melody's parents and grandparents to show how they arrived at this moment, Woodson considers not just their ambitions and successes, but also the costs, the tolls they've paid for striving to overcome expectations and escape the pool of history. As it explores sexual desire and identity, ambition, gentrification, education, class and status, and the life-altering facts of parenthood, Red at the Bone most strikingly looks at the ways in which young people must so often make long-lasting decisions about their lives, even before they have begun to figure out who they are and what they want to be. Or The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. The Vins twin sisters will always be identical, but after growing up together in a small southern black community and running away at age 16, it's not just the shape of their daily lives that is different as adults, it's everything. Their families, their communities, their racial identities. Many years later, one sister lives with her black daughter in the same southern town she once tried to escape. The other passes for white, and her white husband knows nothing of her past. Still, even separated by so many miles and just as many lies, the fates of the twins remained intertwined. What will happen to the next generation when their own daughters' stories intersect? Weaving together multiple strands and generations of this family, from the Deep South to California, from the 1950s to the 1990s, Britt Bennett produces a story that is at once a riveting, emotional family story and a brilliant exploration of the American history of passing. Looking well beyond issues of race, The Vanishing Half considers the lasting influence of the past as it shapes a person's decisions, desires, and expectations, and explores some of the multiple reasons and realms in which people sometimes feel pulled to live as something other than their origins. Or The Edge of Heaven by Marita Golden. In The Edge of Heaven, Marita Golden has fashioned a deceptively simple story of a family whose lives have been shattered by a single moment of angry carelessness. told through the eyes of Teresa Singletary, a 20-year-old college student with an overwhelming emotional burden. Her father, Ryland, and her mother, Lena, whose return to her own mother's home has precipitated a reckoning with Teresa. Together, they all struggle to find a place to relearn each other, somewhere that transcends the painful reality etched into their souls, only to discover that even the darkest tragedy is rivaled by love's transforming light. Bonus segment! My personal favorite Goodreads list the Revisioners is on is Book Covers That Make Me Feel Like I'm Going Insane 2. Happy reading, everyone! This month's library tidbit is a self-care tidbit covering meditation and singing bowls. As always, we are well aware December brings with it several stressors, even for those of our community that do not celebrate any major holidays during the month. So we'd like to take the December tidbit to spread some calming and centering techniques, a way to reduce some stress and lower heart rates. While some meditation is religious in nature, the meditation we are talking about today is not, and is being promoted solely as a non-medical health measure. Meditation will develop an awareness of self and develop mindfulness. Regular meditation reduces stress and anxiety, promotes emotional well-being, and helps someone have better sleep. There are several different types of meditation. The important thing is to find a comfortable location with as few distractions as possible. This will vary from person to person. You can meditate by simply sitting and breathing, or by focusing on a specific thought. You can also meditate through a specific task, such as coloring, playing an instrument, or movement. This is where singing bowls come in. A singing bowl or standing bell is a bell without a stem, supported from the bottom of the bell and the rim open at the top. These are used for a multiple of reasons: to make music, to meditate, and for religious or spiritual practice. Singing bowls come in a variety of sizes and in both metal and crystal. They are played using a striker. You can either tap the rim of the bowl to make it chime, or run the striker around the edge of the bowl to make it sing. To meditate while playing a singing bowl, start by making it chime or sing, whichever you prefer, and focus on the sound the bowl is making. When the noise begins to die down, strike or make the bowl sing again. You can move yourself further or closer to the bowl to hear slightly different vibrations, changing the sound. You can experiment with striking the bowl with different materials, a wood striker or a felted striker. How does a singing bowl work exactly? Well, have you ever moistened your finger and then run it along the top of a glass to make it sing? A singing bowl works along the same principles. Your finger along the edge creates friction between your finger and the glass. The water allows this to be a smoother friction. This friction causes the glass to then vibrate. This is a stick-slip motion. The friction is the stick, and the water is the slip. The vibration is transmitted through the air along a specific frequency, one which the human ear can pick up. This is the same thing that happens when you run a striker around the outside rim of the bowl. The wood or felted wood striker moving along the outside of a metal or crystal bowl creates a stick-slip motion that causes the bowl to vibrate. This means that different size bowls will vibrate at different frequencies, creating different pitches. If you have several bowls, you can create harmonies while they are playing. You can also change the pitch of a bowl by filling it with water. How, you may ask, can you try out a singing bowl for yourself? Well, you can buy them fairly inexpensively online. However, even better, we have meditation kits available to check out at the circulation desk that have a singing bowl, a book on how to use a singing bowl, bouting balls, a book on how to use bouting balls, chimes, a guided meditation CD, and a book on meditation. Kits check out for 28 days, and they are not able to be renewed. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes to demonstrate using a singing bowl. If you want to pause and find a comfortable place to sit and listen, please do that now. This is what a wooded striker sounds like. And this is what a felted striker sounds like. And this is what the bowl sounds like while it is singing. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenidos a un nuevo episodio de Viajero de Libros. Mi nombre es Víctor y soy el bibliotecario de la Biblioteca Pública de Largo. Hoy les voy a hablar sobre una novela gráfica que tenemos en la colección en español que se titula Lock and Key, Bienvenidos a Lovecraft, por Joe Hill y Gabriel Rodríguez. La sinopsis. Nombrada una obra moderna maestra por The AV Club, Lock and Key cuenta una extensa historia de magia y familia, legado y dolor, bien y mal. El aclamado novelista de suspenso y autor del bestseller de New York Times, Joe Hill, ha creado una apasionante historia de fantasía oculta y maravillosa, con asombrosas obras de arte del Gabriel Rodríguez, que como las puertas de Key House, transformarán todo lo que abren. La epopeya comienza aquí. Bienvenido a Lovecraft. Tras el espantoso asesinato de su padre, en una violenta invasión de su hogar, los hijos de Locke regresan a la casa de su infancia de Key House, en la apartada Lovecraft, Massachusetts. Su madre, Nina, está demasiado atrapada en su dolor, y en una botella de vino, para darse cuenta que todo en Key House no es lo que parece. Demasiadas puertas cerradas, demasiadas preguntas sin responder. Los niños mayores, Tyler y Kinsey, no son mucho mejores. Pero no el hijo menor, Bode, quien rápidamente encuentra un nuevo amigo que vive en un pozo vacío y un juguete nuevo, una llave, que ofrece horas de entretenimiento enérgico. Pero de nuevo, todo en Key House no es lo que parece, y no todas las puertas están destinadas a abrirse. Pronto, horrores viejos y nuevos, reales e imaginarios, vendrán furiosos tras los Locks y los secretos que guarda su familia. Opinión. Cuando empecé a leer esta novela gráfica, no pensé que me fuera a gustar tanto, pero es una obra excelente. Una serie de terror, suspenso y de conspiración sobrenatural, basada en una casa heredada de la familia llamada Lovecraft, y los secretos y pasados que contiene. Una tragedia familiar que hace que la familia Locke regrese a su legado solo para ver el peligro que sigue. Algo que me gustó mucho fue el enfoque del autor en la devastada familia Locke y cómo tienen que recuperar el asesinato de su padre. Conocemos y nos preocupamos por cada uno de los personajes, que creo que para mí debe ser la clave de las mejores historias de terror. También hay un diálogo increíble, no solo sangriento y tenebroso, aunque si es lo que estás buscando, esta historia no te decepcionará. Es todo por hoy, hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you happen to not know Spanish, check out our English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We hope you have a great month. Stay safe, check out our events calendar for our upcoming events, and we'll talk to you again soon. I wish you guys could see me right now. I feel a little bit like a goober.